We are up to 102. Up to 102. Shabbos daf Kuf Beis. Kuf Beis. Right at the beginning of a new Mishnah. We're still talking about baseball players on Shabbos. Hazorik, someone who throws. V'nizkar me'acha shiatza miyado. Klata acher. Klata kelev oshen nisrifa pater. So what's going on? So the pitcher is throwing the ball from Rishas HaYachad into Rishas HaRabim, and by the time he throws it, he doesn't realize it's Shabbos, meaning it's Shogeg, which is when you would bring a Chatas. And then, after he releases the ball, he remembers, oh no, it's Shabbos. So now the question is it going to be a Chayev? Well, if it gets to its destination that he considered or that he had intention to get to, so then he's going to be chayev. However, after he realizes, while it's in midair, so someone else comes and catches it that he didn't expect, or a dog comes and catches it that he didn't expect, or somehow it was burnt in midair. How exactly that happens, I don't know. But it was burnt in midair, so if that happens, he'd be putter. I mean, I guess if you're not talking about a baseball, it's a lot easier to burn it in midair, but whatever. Zarek lachzos chabur, in a similar sense, even if it's not Shabbos, if you're throwing something and it hurts to hurt someone, bein v'adam bein b'behema, you're trying to damage something, miskar she'lo nasis chabura, and you remembered that it's probably not a good idea to hurt anyone, so then, and you remember before it hurt anyone. So then it's pater. You didn't have that intention while you were throwing it, so you'd be pater. Zach Klal, here's the rule. Kol chayav echatos, ein chayav anat she tichilas v'nesof en shigaga. The only time you'd be chayav for echatos is when it is beginning and end with an inadvertent act, meaning you didn't know the act was a problem, or you didn't know the act was a problem during the time that you're doing it. Tichilas en shigaga v'sof en zad, tichilas en zad v'sof en shigaga. The beginning and the end have to both be b'shogeg. It can't be that one of them is on purpose and one of them is inadvertent. So now the Gemara asks, let's say you're throwing something and it was the beginning was shogeg, just like the first case, but then it falls down. Meaning, if you notice that the beginning of the Mishnah, there were two conditions. Number one, you remembered, and number two, someone else caught it. So what if you only remembered and no one else caught it? Maybe it did fall to the place that you wanted it to fall, but you still remembered halfway. So the Gemara says, Hanacha Chayev. Does that mean that if it fell down, then it is Chayev and nobody else caught it? A whole Nizkar. But wait a second. We just learned that if you remembered in the middle of the throw, so then it would be Utanan Kol Chayev Achadas Ena Chayev and Achet Titchas Nesov and Shkaga. So why do we have to add this whole condition about somebody else catching it? In the middle of the throw, before the end of the throw, it wasn't a shogeg anymore. So why do you have to tell me about the dog catching in the midair? Right? I don't know if anyone knows the Sandlot, but I'm thinking of the dog when they catapult the ball back over the fence, and out of nowhere the dog comes and snatches it in midair. If you know the scene, you know what I'm talking about. Either way, so Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Seifa aslan lalachta umasna. So Rav Kahana says, no, at the end, where it's talking about the fact that it needs to be both the beginning and the end have to be b'shogeg, that's talking about a situation of basically a tethered something which is tethered to your hand. You're holding the string in one hand and it's got some kind of thing on the other, a bolt and a cord, and you're throwing it, but you're still holding on to it. So in that situation, you could always have the ability to pull it back. So that's when it says the shogeg has to be the beginning when you're throwing it, and before until it rests, it has to be still shogeg, because if you realize, you'd be able to pull it back. However, if it's a thrown ball and you're throwing it, so once it leaves your hands and you're shogeg, so then you're done. So then you can't change the trajectory, or you can't change the status of it. And it doesn't. There's no tzchila and sof. It's just the tzchila because you have no control over it. So the Gemara says, wait a second, lachta misna ogda biyadahu. What kind of situation is that? It's still in your hand. If I take something and I'm standing right here and I swing it around, it doesn't matter. The trajectory is all over the place. even if it's a 4 amos long, so I'm still holding it where I am. So then why would that ever be a situation? So the Gemara says, no, kigon lishnis kavim lasos chabura. That's a situation of tchadas nesofan where you're throwing it for the sake of making hurting someone. And then you can pull it back because that has nothing to do with how far the thing goes, but rather what the intention is when you're tossing it or I guess extending it. So the Gemara says, wait a second, han nami tanina though. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. You'd be repeating yourself if that's what it meant. So Ella Amareva b'mavir. Rather, when we're talking about tchilas v'sofan b'shogeg, it's referring to the situation where a person is carrying it. He's carrying the beginning of the 4 amos and the end of the 4 amos. Both have to be with the shogeg concept of carrying on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, when it says the word zeh klal, this is the rule, it sounds like it's summarizing the beginning of the Mishnah, which is talking about a zrika case. If the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about throwing, how can it all of a sudden say, oh, and this is the rule by a completely different case? Why would it do such a thing? So the Gemara says, Ela amarava tarti katani. Really, it's teaching us two different things. After all these jumping jacks, this is what we came to. Hazorek viniskar me'achash yatsum miyado. When you throw something and you remember in the middle of the trajectory that it's Shabbos, inami lo niskar uklatar acha uklatar chelav shenisr vasuklatar. Whether you remember that it's Shabbos and you didn't want to do it in the first place, in the middle of the trajectory, or you never remembered that it was Shabbos, and the beast comes and catches the ball midair. So either of those situations is going to be pater. Neither of them did you have a full shogeg act. So Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar Chasir Mechzer V'Hakitani. Really, this is what the Mishnah means to say. So that was Rava's understanding of the Mishnah. Rav Ashi says like this. Hazorek V'Nisker Me'ach Shatz Miado Klata Achra Klata Kelav Shnisra Pater. Hanacha chayev. That it sounds like from Rav Ashi that you need both. You need number one. You need the intention at the beginning to be shogeg, and even if you remembered in the middle, you still need something else to catch it in between. But hanacha, if it did fall and nothing else caught it in between, it doesn't matter that you changed your thought process in the middle. You'd still be chayev because the beginning of it is a shogeg. What is the situation? Only if you forgot again in the middle. Meaning, you throw it when you don't know it's Shabbos. In the middle, well, maybe not if you know it's Shabbos, it depends on the earlier discussions that we had. But let's say like that simplistically for now. So you're throwing it with the idea that it's not Shabbos. In the middle, you remember that it's Shabbos. And then by the end, before it falls and lands on the floor, so then you forget it's Shabbos again. So the question is that called Tchila V'Sof? Right? You have the beginning of Shogeg, then you have the end of Shogeg, but in the middle, you knew it was Shabbos. So you imagine like someone throwing like, it's a Sunday. Oh, no, it's Shabbos. Oh, yeah, no, maybe it's Sunday. Right? And while you're still in that moment where you think it's Sunday, so then it falls to the ground. So the Gemara says, if in that situation, the only time you'd be putter is when you again forgot at the end of the throw. But if you remembered and you didn't, that would be chayev. That if you remembered in the middle of the throw, then you would be chayev. Because you remembered, but if you didn't again forget, so then you'd be pater. Wait a second. So you're saying pater. Wait a second. However, if he did not forget again, he is exempt because all of those were liable to sin. I didn't understand. Call him Shatanuach to have a Tchilas Vesov Shikaga. Because that middle knowledge doesn't do anything for you. Right. So if lo chazav v'shachach means that you did know afterwards. Sorry, you did know after at the end because that would you not be chayev. You only chayev if it's if it's shogig at the beginning and at the end. And in this case, the middle knowledge doesn't help you. The middle knowledge doesn't help you because the beginning and the end are still shogig, and you still be chayav for that shogig. But if you remembered in the middle and then you didn't forget again by the end, so then you'd still be pater because it wasn't shogig at the beginning and the end. Okay. Ze'aklal kochayav v'chatos itmar. Shtei amos v'shogig, shtei amos v'mezah, shtei amos v'shogig. So the question is, if it's two amos by accident, or inadvertently, shtei amos b'mezid, and then two on purpose, and then two again with inadvertently. So that sounds like a similar case with your mind situation. Just like you threw it with shogeg, then it became mezid, then it became shogeg again. So through here, but here you're walking. So Rabba Amar Pater. Rabba says you'd be Pater, presumably for the chiv in the middle, the mezid in the middle. You don't have four continuous amos of shogeg. Rav Amar Chayv, because presumably that two amos in the middle can just be taken out of the equation and you have four overall. Rav Amar Patra, I feel Rav Gamliel, da Amar Enye Dilachat Shir. Rav says you'd be Patra, even according to Rav Gamliel, who says you can't have a little bit of thought. If you have some thought which is going to undo it, it has to be a full fledged four amos thought. Then here you only have two amos of it. Hasim hu dechi gamar shiura. That's only in the case where Rabbi Gamliel would only say that there's no thought for a too small amount of time when you're actually finishing the shir. B'shogeg hasim hu dechi ki kagamar shiura b'shogeg kagamar. The only time he would say that any deal chazi shir is when you finish the shir with the shogeg. Aval hachad b'mezid lo. Here, when you finish the first four amos, it's b'mezid, and therefore it's not finishing the shir with a shogeg. Here you would be finishing the shir with a mezid, and therefore Rabba would still say you would be pater because when you're finishing with the mezid, so that's when you're finishing, and therefore that yediyah does work because you're finishing the four amos with the exception, not the rule, with the exception, not the standard. So here you're finishing the four with a mezid concept and not a shogeg concept. And that's why, and we know if you walk four amos b'mezid, you wouldn't be chayav achatas, you'd be chayav skila. So that's a situation where you're finishing this year. Even Rabbi Gamliel, who usually says that small amount of exceptional thought is not considered part of the equation, in this case he would, because that's what you finish the year with. So Gemara says, uvamai, what was the situation? Ibizorik, if you're throwing it, so shogeg who? So then he'd be shogeg, because the beginning is shogeg. El b'maver, rather it must be that he's carrying it. Rava amar chayev. I feel Rabbanan darmi yesh diachat sishir. Rava would say you're chayev, even according to the Rabbanan, who think that small amount of exceptional thought should be counted towards your pator. So the reason is why? Hasam hu biyado. The reason the Rabbanan say you're allowed to do it is because it's in your hand. Hava al hacha de'en biyado lo. So here, when it's not in your hand, presumably he's talking about throwing, so then they wouldn't say the same thing, because you can't have that exceptional thought doesn't count if you don't have any control over the item. Uvamai, even maver harabi yado, al bazarik, it must be that he's throwing it and not carrying it. Amarabba zarik, v'nachal b'fiyak, halab b'fiyak, kevshan chayiv, if a dog or an oven catches the ball and burns it up, so then it wasn't a full-fledged throw. So wait a second, so then you'd be chayiv. So then you'd be, it sounds, in this price it says you'd be chayev. V'han antena, but our Mishnah said, klatach, klatach, kailosh, and isra pater. So how could you have those two things at once? So hasim dol v'chavin, hakam v'chavin. Hacha kam dekam v'chavin. Here, over there, where it's eaten up by the dog or eaten up by the oven, you didn't necessarily have an intention to throw it into the dog's mouth. No, meaning in our Mishnah, you didn't have that intention. I don't know why I called it Hassam, but either way, Hassam over there, you didn't want it to fall in the dog's mouth. You weren't playing catch with your dog. And therefore, when the dog snatches it, you'd be Pater. But here, in the situation of the dog catching it, it's because you were playing catch with your dog. So if you're playing catch with your dog after four amos, you're throwing it, so then it's obviously going to be a chayev on Shabbos for throwing in public domain. Amra bibi barabai, afana namitani, yeshoch achila. Achil achas chayev ala arba chatos vashem echad hatam shachal chelav hu shenos merag mukdashin biyom haKippurim. So we have a situation where a person could eat one thing and be chayev four things for it, and it's someone who is tamei and he's eating something like chelav, which is aser, and it's also extras from the karbanos, and it's also Yom Kippur, four things that are going to be chayev. Rabbi Meir Omer Afim Hayisav Shabbos Vatiyah Befiv. You could even be chayev on Shabbos for eating something while you're taking it out of a public domain. Into a public domain. So the Gemara says, Amrlo, Eino Min Hashem, that's not the same type of thing. It's not all the food that you're eating, that's also the act that you're doing. So that wouldn't be necessarily the same. V'amayha Ein Derech Hotzah B'kach. Why would that be the case? Why would you still be chayiv? That's not a normal way to do Hotzah. El Kevin to come. Kavin Machshavta Machshavi Le'makom. The reason it's still chayiv is because that's what you wanted to do. You had a kavanah to do that, and therefore it is considered a normal way because that was your personal intention. Hacharamik Kevin to come. Kavin Machshavta Machshavi Le'makom. Here too, when you're throwing it to the dog, that's what you want to be doing. So that's going to be a normal way to put it out outside of the domain, and you'd be chayav for that. Hadron Allah Hazorik, we'll come back to you. Hazorik Meretz Hashem Zuhun. Okay, 102b. 102b, Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Got 10 more minutes. Habona Kama Yibana V'Yichayev. If someone builds, so how much do you have to build in order to be chayav? Habona Kol Shuv Amaseh Ma'akab Ha'achit Ma'avat of Ma'atzad. Hakodea Kol Shuv Chayev. Any amount. A person who chisels or strikes with a hammer or with an adze, I don't know what an adze is, or one who drills a hole of any kind is chayev on Shabbos. Zeklal, kol osam malacha, malachim is kemis of Shabbos chayev, anyone who does anything, even one of these seemingly destructive acts, as long as it's an enduring act on Shabbos, it's going to be chayev. V'chein Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, af hamakah b'kornos al asad m'shas malacha, chayev m'neshu kemisakim malacha. So too, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say, even a person who strikes an anvil with a sledgehammer would be chayev because that is an improving activity. Again, even though these things are in some ways visibly destructive, because they're doing something productive, they're still going to be problematic and chayev. So even if it's a small amount. So the Gemara says, wait a second, kol shulamai chazya. When you're talking about a little bit of building, how could that be any use? How could that be useful for anything? So, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shekein ani chofer gumal hatsniya b'purutosav. For a poor person who hides his the little money that he has, he hides it in a little hole in the floor. So, making that little hole is considered an act of building for him. It's productive. The kavasagav b'mishkan and similarly in the mishkan shekatover yirios chofer gumal hatsniya b'machtan. That the ones who sewed the Mishkan would make little holes in the ground to store away their needles. So that would be the corollary of the Mishkan, which would make it chayav for this situation also. If they would put them in the ground, they'd get all rusty. There's no way they would do that. That a poor person might make a little oven, a little oven that would make these little legs for it, so it's not sitting on the ground. So those little things are also going to make it chayev. The dyers in the Mishkan would make these little ovens also, and they would make these little legs for those little ovens. So that's why even the smallest amount is going to be chayev, because they had a corollary in the Mishkan, and it has a useful purpose for an ani to make these little legs for the oven. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Ein Anius Makom Ashiras, that there's no poverty in a place of wealth. A very interesting concept here, that in the Mishkan, with any action which was not performed in a small, which was are not performed in a small scale or in a parsimonious quantities, they are performed generously, meaning that just because there are people who had little things to do doesn't mean that they would use little things. They would still make big things. It's a Mishkan. It's an important event. It's an important building process. You wouldn't make something so small and insignificant for a big process. You'd link it in with the other things and make something bigger. So the Gemara says, Ela Shekein Baal HaBayis Sheyesh L'Nekav Bevri Bivirasa Vesotmo to Kavasaka Vishkan Shken Kerishnaflo Vidarna Mati Vatocha Eva Avar Vesotmo. Rather, it's not talking about an ani making a little thing, but rather a good person who has a hole in his house. If he has a hole in his house, he's gonna seal it up. So too, when one of the beams of the Mishkan had a hole, they would fill it up with some lead. Even a small little hole, that would be significant. Amar Shmuel HaMatzadi Zeva Chayev. Someone who sets a stone in place is chayev. If you're making a brick wall, so the person who puts the brick and the person, but if one person puts the brick, the other person puts the mortar, so then you'd be chayev. The person who puts the mortar is chayev. So why is a person who just places a brick considered to be chayev if the mortar is important to the building process? Here, it sounds like just putting down the brick is going to be chayev. So the Gemara says, v'litamechem asefa. According to that logic, why would we ever need to say the end of that Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi, Omer afil ha'ala v'nech agabi dimo. That you put it, even if you put it on a top row of stones, you'd be chayiv without the mortar. So what is that? That mission doesn't make sense according to you if you need the mortar. There are three types of building. Tata mitzavila, tata baitzadudiv afra. The bottom needs the setting of the stones with dirt to hold it in place. The middle mitzvah by namitina. The middle requires mortar as well. Ilah ba'anacha ba'alma. But at the top of the wall, all it needs is to be put in place, and that stays. That's considered building itself. Hamasasi masasis mishumai mechayev. Someone who chisels away. What's the chiyuv? Rav Amma mishum bona. He says because it's bona. Shmuel Amma mishum makam patish. Shmuel says because you're finishing the hammer blow. House and neka balul shal tarnagolim. Rav Amma mishum bona. Shmuel Amma mishum makam patish. So if you're making a hole in the chicken coop, that's also chayv for bona. And Shmuel says it's because the makam patish have a very interesting halacha corollaries in practical halacha, but not for now. Maybe during the halacha shir. Ail shufta bekupina demara. Someone who puts a pin in the handle of a hoe in order for it to keep it in place. So again, Rav Amar Mishum Bona, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makom Patish. So all these three, Rav says because of Bona, and Shmuel says Kamatim Makom Patish, which do have their own exceptional halachas to them. So it matters which one you categorize them. Bona would only be from the ground. Makom Patish would be anything which is the end of the activity. Okay, Utsricha, and you need all three of these examples. Three examples were number one for chiseling, number two for making the hole in the coop, and number three for the pin in the hoe. It's normal to chisel away. That's a normal thing to do, and maybe that's when you would apply it. Making holes in structures is not necessarily a binyan, and therefore maybe you would think that doesn't apply over there, because it's just making a hole. Kamash malan, it still applies. So it still does apply. Maybe he would think that it wouldn't be considered bona. Rav wouldn't be considered bona. Maybe he would agree with Shmuel. It's not. So Gemara says no. It's still considered bona according to Rav. Yishmanu b'ha kama Rav mishum d'dami l'binyan. I'm sorry. Yeah. Maybe you would say that only when it comes to the hole in the coop would it be a problem, because it seems like you're dealing with a structure. David al-Avira, because you're making it for the ventilation of the chicken coop, which is part of the building process. Al shufta b'kupina demara de'endarach binyan b'kach. But when it comes to the pin inside of this instrument, so maybe you wouldn't think it's binyan because you're not building a structure. Eim v'modul le'shmuel v'yashminu b'hab b'had kamar shmuel al-han yachtarti eim v'modul le'rav tzrichi. So we need all three in order to make sure that it's considered building according to Rav, and it's also makapash according to Shmuel. So b'yom minei Rav Nelson Baroshi Amir Rabbi Yochanan Masatis Mishum Mai Mechayev chiseling wise Yechayev Ach Veilei Biyadi Mishum Makapash. So didn't we say? So he implied with his hand it's makapash. I don't know. He made some kind of motion. We have a mission that says clearly the two things separately: chiseling and the hammer blow. Rather, explain it to say that no, it's one who chisels is makapash. Okay, shkayach. We'll continue, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow. See anyone who can make it to 7 o'clock in a few minutes. Shkach. Now we're going a little faster without as much...